Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
I'm going to interrupt this program to say my husband got a ribbing yesterday for saying, I think it's Monday. But hey, now when you listen to the call at 8:30 Eastern time, understand in California where you're visiting your children, it's 5:30 in the morning. I would not be coming to at all if I don't have my coffee. Anyway, we're going to move right along. You're not big on complaining.
No, I'm not. As a matter of fact, over the years, I've worked hard to eliminate it in my own life. I sometimes find myself rather intolerant of those who whine and complain. And I can only imagine how God feels, but really, I don't have to imagine because the Word tells you.
Yeah, you can read it in Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. When I'm reading through this with the children of Israel, I have to go, wow, even I would feel like I could get frustrated, and I'm only reading it through. It's not going to take me 40 years. Anyway, Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.
The children of Israel had only been in the wilderness for about a month.
Wow.
And they were ready to pack it in and head back to Egypt.
Think of it.
Even though the scripture references Moses and Aaron, the truth is the Israelites were expressing their discontent, frustration, and ingratitude toward God. For Moses and Aaron represented God to the people.
That's right.
Now, as we think about this, here are five reasons why the children of Israel should never have been complaining. Number one, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord to deliver them from the cruel Egyptian taskmasters, and he did.
Exodus 3, verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors, for I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials.
Number two, the children of Israel were miraculously spared while the Egyptians endured the 10 plagues, right down to the claiming the firstborn male child of every Egyptian.
Wow. Exodus 12, verse 13 says, the blood shall be for a token or sign to you upon the doorposts of the house where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Wow. Number three, the children of Israel witnessed their deliverance by God's hand against the mightiest nation in the world at that time.
Exodus 14, verse 13 says, Moses spoke to the people. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. Take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again.
Wow. Number four. I'm doing a lot of wowing, but...
Well, so was I, because it's pretty wowing.
It is. Number four, the children of Israel received an unprecedented transfer of wealth as they left Egypt.
Hallelujah. The New Living Translation of Exodus 12, verse 36 says, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for, so they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth.
One translation says, they plundered them of the wealth.
Wow.
Number five, the children of Israel were living in divine health, but absolutely no sickness and disease.
That's incredible. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, if you will, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will listen to and obey his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Hallelujah.
I know. It is a hallelujah scripture.
It is. After all these signs and wonders, God tested the children of Israel to be sure their hearts were committed to trust him for their provision.
That's right. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, classic Amplified Bible. And you shall earnestly remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your mind and heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not.
The children of Israel failed the test. In fact, I don't even think they got one answer right. They rejected God's leadership, his laws, and his provision. And as a result, not one within the slave generation got to see the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb. How does God feel when we murmur and complain? Scripture says he's not happy about it. It means a lot more than that.
In Numbers 11, verse 1, it says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp.
What displeases the Lord? Complaining.
Complaining.
Now, if you look up the word displeased in Strong's Concordance, you'll find there are two Hebrew words referenced there. The words are H7451, which means evil, and H241, which means ears. In other words, catch this, the complaining of the children of Israel was considered evil to the ears of the Lord.
Well,
so the scripture is very clear how God feels about complaining. It says God got angry. That's probably not something we want to do, make God angry. Not only that, there are consequences to ingratitude.
And Numbers 11:1 goes on to say, the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them.
You know, honey, my first thought, reading this again, was the fact that we all better watch out about our complaining. Maybe even carry a fire extinguisher with us wherever we go. Not that it would do any good.
Thank God that we're not under the law.
Amen.
For sure.
Amen.
That's very gracious. And now, he was then.
I'm sure everybody hearing our voice, whether it's the live call or the playback, I'm sure that every person hearing our voice, every single one, is way too spiritual to ever said anything like this. I never seem to catch a break. When is God going to deliver me out of this mess? Have any of these or similar words ever come out of your mouth? If so, we suggest you immediately repent or be careful around fires.
Well, not that we don't often all have to repent.
Yes, we do. Do we complain about what we have, or, you know, don't have, what's going on in our lives? How do we respond to our circumstances? Thankfulness is a huge asset.
Yes, and it's a great habit to perfect. You know, what you feed grows, and what you starve dies.
It's good.
And sometimes we just need the perspective to realize how incredibly thankful we should be.
You know, honey, according to the World Bank, more than 1 billion people live on less than a dollar a day.
Mm.
Nearly 3 billion people live on less than $2 a day. In other words, nearly half of the world's population lives on less per day than the cost of a cup of coffee from Starbucks.
Wow.
Truthfully and sadly, the rest of the world must be amazed at the people of the United States and the industrialized nations of the world. It seems sometimes, well, we're never satisfied. If we have a house, want a bigger house. If we have a car, We want it to be, you know, newer, with more bells and whistles. If we get a vacation, we want it to be longer, better, bigger, exotic locations. And when we don't get what we want, we have a tendency to complain. Can you see that such grumbling is being disrespectful toward God's provision for us? And also, it restricts His desire to bless us with even more. I mean, after all, who wants to bless a spoiled child? If you have children or grandchildren, how do you feel when they aren't appreciative of what you've done for them? You give them a cell phone, but if it's not the latest iPhone or Android, they complain. You give them a car to drive when they're 16, but if it's not the make, model, or year they wanted, they complain. You buy them new clothes, but if they don't carry the designer label they want, they complain. We're sure you're getting the point. We don't want to overdramatize it. But see, you're not happy when your children don't appreciate the things you've done for them. How do you think God must feel with His children? How do you think God will respond to our wanting more in the future when we complain about what we already have right now? When we complain, we tie God's hands.
Now think of that.
And He can't and won't release into our lives all that He has in store for us. Those hearing our voice, listen. It's time to praise God for the things that He does for us on a regular basis.
Amen. He does so much.
Finally, if you want your attitude and conversation to be pleasing to God, then adopt an attitude of gratitude and don't complain. Dr. David Jeremiah, pastor and amazing author, he said, no matter what our circumstances, we can find a reason to be thankful.
Amen.
That's a strong quote.
It is, and I saw a sign not too long ago that said, what if you only received today what you thank God for yesterday?
Wow.
Some of us would be very limited, and probably including me. But
yeah, we would.
Do, you know, we just get in that attitude, like Harold says, of gratitude, where we just praise God.
Praise Him in the morning.
And
praise Him at noontime. Praise Him all the day long.
And the thing is, when we're praising Him, we're actually positioning ourselves.
Come on now.
To be more blessed.
Amen.
Because the more you sow in whatever direction, the more you reap.
Last comment. We want to say happy birthday to Zan, our baby girl.
Yeah.
And the good news is we get to celebrate it with her.
Amen.
And with our family.
Amen.
Huge blessing.
That is.
Speaking of blessing, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherry.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says, so whoever asks. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.